Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. You know, as we continue to enjoy this wonderful month of Black history, you know, we share it, you know, with a very powerful attribute. You know, this attribute, you know, it represents, you know, the very fabric of the foundation of our mission to success as a people. You know, the attribute I'm referring to is the attribute of love. You know, we share this month, you know, with the spirit of love, Valentine's. You know, there's an old song I'm sure we remember. You know, it's one of those iconic songs. What is it? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. You know, the very concept of love, you know, it is one of the most permeating themes in the world today. And Minnie Riperton, you know, she sang about it in the early 70s, the melodious sound of loving you. You know, according to Amazon.com, you know, there are at least 35,507 books currently in print with the word love in the title, over 145,000 that deal with the subject of love, and over your 11,000 albums and CDs with love in the title, not to mention your the number of websites that use the word love as one of the keywords. You know, it's undeniable how influential love is to our culture. I mean, to any culture, really. But you know, with all of this information available, your love has become a very confusing subject. When I watch TV or read articles while waiting in a waiting area, I mean, even observing other people, at times, it's clear that our society has a challenged understanding of love. Not long ago, I read this article about this family of two parents. They had two school-age children. Now, these parents, they were very busy in their social lives. I mean, too busy, in fact. So, when the children got in the way of their fun, they would, drug them up with cough medicine. And then with the kids all drugged out to sleep, they would then be able to go out and do whatever, go wherever, and stay out ever long they desire and not worry about supervision. But I venture to say, that if the authorities were to intervene to rescue these children, that person, or the group there, they would protest, "I love my children." But is this really love? With humanity as confused about love? I mean, who is to say, what love is? The answer is, God. One of the simplest and yet profound definitions of love is found in 1 John 4:8, who, by the way, was known as the apostle of love. He wrote, "God is love." Those three little words, they ought to fill our hearts with warmth and hope. If those words are true, well, it makes all the difference in the world. But we need to understand rightly that God is love, which means love is God. In other words, love, it does not define God. God defines love. Much of what we call love in modern America, it bears no resemblance or relationship to the holy spiritual love of God. So it's important, that we dig a little deeper this evening as we discover, exactly what God love really is. Now, in this chapter, John, he indicates four characteristics of God's love for us. The first, which is God's love, it is personal. Now, John, he says here in our passage, is 1 John, 4th chapter, 7th through the 8th verse. And it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God, and he knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:7-8. I believe the overriding impression of these two verses is that the love of God is personal. God's love, it causes us to know him and him know us. I think A.W. Tozer said it best. He said, the love of God is one of the great realities of the universe, a pillar upon which the hope of the world rests. But it is a personal, intimate thing too. God does not love populations. He loves people. He loves not masses, but men. One of the most powerful messages that we could take to people today is that God loves them. Every individual person is important to God, and he loves each one. Another scholar stated when he said, all people matters. You matter. I matter. It's the hardest thing in theology to believe. When teaching his disciples, Jesus said, aren't 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? God does not forget any of them. Every hair on your head has been counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I can guarantee that the Son of Man will acknowledge in front of God's angels every person who acknowledges him in front of others. Luke 12:6-7. Isn't that amazing, y'all? There is not a single bird that falls from the sky without God's notice. And how much more important are we than a few birds? So much more important that God, he knows every hair on our heads. While some of us may have more hair than others, the message is still the same. God loves us, and he knows everything about us. God's love for us is personal. Jesus illustrates this again when he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. John 10:14-15. The image of shepherding, is lost, on many Americans today. But when Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem, shepherding, it was as common as farming is in many areas of South Georgia today. Good shepherding characteristics, they consisted of the concept because they each was able to tell their sheep just by looking at them, and even oftentimes by their name. And so Jesus, he said, I know my own. God's love is universal, but it is also individual. God's love, and as Augustine, he put it this way. He says, he loves each one of us as if there was only one of us. The first characteristic of God's love is that it is personal. And also, God's love, is a proven love. Proven love. In the next couple of verses, John, he says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love here. Not, that we love God, but that, he loved us and he sent his Son as a sacrifice to save our souls. God's love was manifest or proven to us through the life and death of Jesus. Your love is a verb. It requires action. It's demonstrated through behavior. And the love of God, is no exception. The Bible says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5:8. Have you all heard the parable of the pit? There was a traveler once, who fell into this deep pit. Now he couldn't get out of this pit. Several people came by and they saw the brother in the pit struggling. Well, the sensitive person looked down and said, "Oh, I feel for you down there." Well, the reflective person said, "Oh, it's logical that someone would fall into that pit." The interior decorator said, "Hey, I can give you some ideas on how you can decorate your pit." Well, the judgmental person said, "Well, I believe you deserve your pit." Well, the IRS agent said, "Are you paying taxes on this pit?" Well, the self-pity person said, "Oh, you should have seen my pit." Well, the optimist said, "Cheer up, things could be worse." Well, the pessimist said, "Be prepared, things will get worse." Well, Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him up out of the miserable pit. You know, the point is, you know, it doesn't do any good to talk about your love and compassion without demonstrating it. Your God, he demonstrates his love. He's proven his love for us. There's an old story about a man by the name of John Griffith who lived in Oklahoma in 1929. He lost all he had in the stock market. Now, he moved to Mississippi, where he took a job as a bridge tender for a rail trestle. In 1937, he was involved in a horrific accident. One day, his 8-year-old son, Greg, spent the day with his dad at work. He poked around the bridge tender's office. He asked a myriad of questions. Then a ship came through. And John opened up the drawbridge. After a moment or two, he realized his son was not in the office. And as he looked around, to his shock, he saw his son climbing around on the gears of the drawbridge. He hurried outside to rescue his son. But just then, he heard what he knew was a fast approaching passenger train, the Mississippi Express, filled with over 400 people. He yelled to his son, but the noise of the now clearing ship and the oncoming train made it impossible for the boy to hear him. And all of a sudden, John Griffith, he realized his horrible dilemma. If he took time to rescue his son, the train would crash, killing all aboard. But if he closed the bridge, he would crush his son within the gears, and he made the awful decision. So he pulled the lever and closed the bridge. It is said that as the train went by, John, he could see the faces of the passengers, some of them reading, some of them even waving, but all oblivious to the sacrifice that had just made for him. So many of us, we do the same thing to God. We wave as we pass him by. Never, give a second of thought, of the sacrifice he made on our behalf. Like John Griffith, God, he allowed the jaws of death to close in on his son. And thousands go by oblivious and indifferent. But, there is one tremendous difference between the two. It's unlike the Mississippi Express that caught John Griffith by surprise. The sending of Jesus, it was not a panic move. It wasn't a spontaneous decision, nor the result of jealous Jews or hard-hearted Romans. It was the result, of a loving God who, in his wisdom, said there was no other way. Jesus, he chose the nails to demonstrate just how far he was willing to go to win our hearts. First, God's love, is personal. And second, God's love is proven. And third, God's love, is a perfection. A perfection love. The apostle of love. He goes on to say, "No one has ever seen God, but we love each other. God lives in us." 1 John 4:12. You know, since God is already perfect, you know, this phrase here, his love made perfect in us, you know, that actually is telling us, you know, that is referring to perfect in us. Another translation says, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. You know, the word translated perfect, it actually means maturity or completion. In other words, y'all, God's love, y'all, it completes us. It makes us whole. It gives us significance to our lives. You know, without the love of God, you know, we would never be complete. I mean, you know, there would always be something missing. God's love, y'all, as with all true love, it is meant, y'all, to foster the personal growth and development of the one he loves. That also, y'all, tells us that, y'all, God's love, y'all, is not selfish. Y'all, he is generally looking, y'all, for our best interests. Y'all, one of the best and powerful hope-filled promises in the Bible comes from Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Your God, he wants good things for us. I mean, everything, y'all, that God does in our lives are for our good. And that's, y'all, what agape love is all about. Wanting and doing, y'all, what is best for another person. And remember, y'all, your God, his goal for our lives is to make us like Christ. And that you'll live like Christ and have a heart like Christ. And then transform us, y'all, into the best possible version of ourselves. And that's what your God's love does. And when we let into our house, our hearts, and our lives, you know, it gives us your force of inside of power. And it makes us, y'all, better than we could ever imagine. You know, when I was a teenager, you know, I would go, y'all, to the movies sometimes, and I would do it alone. You know, oftentimes, y'all, my movie would end before the other movies. So I would go to those movies, y'all, and I would look at the ending of their movie. You know, I must have saw just about most, if not all, of the endings of just about most of the movies during that phase. But, y'all, there was this one movie that stood above all the others. Y'all, it was in 1996. Y'all, Tom Cruise. Y'all, that movie, y'all, is where Tom Cruise, y'all, he turned this movie, y'all, into a famous movie by one particular line. You see, at the end of the movie, he made, y'all, this impassionate plea to Renee Zellweger. You see, finally, y'all, he tells us what she has been waiting to hear throughout the entire movie. He said, "You complete me." Yo, that's one of my favorite scenes. I mean, it gets me every time. But yo, it's misleading. I mean, in reality, yo, there is no other relationship that we can have on earth that will, yo, truly make us complete. None other, yo, than the love of God. Yo, George Matheson, yo, he knew all about that. Yo, he was only 15. When he was told, y'all, that he was losing what little eyesight he had, y'all, not to be denied, Madison, y'all, he immediately continued with his plans to enroll in the University of Glasgow, and his determination led to his graduation at the age of 19. But as he pursued his graduate studies in theology for Christian ministry, he did become completely blind. His sisters joined ranks beside him, you know, earning Greeks and Hebrew subject matters, and they assisted him in his studies. You know, he met a beautiful girl, and he asked her to marry him. He pressed faithfully and optimistically, but his spirit collapsed when his fiancée, willing to be confined and chained to a blind man for the rest of her life, broke their engagement and returned the ring. He never married, and the pain of that rejection never totally left him. Years later, as a well-loved preacher in Scotland, his sister came to him, announcing her engagement. He was happy for her, but his mind drifted back to his own heartache. He comforted himself by thinking of God's love, which is never limited, never conditional, never withdrawn, and never uncertain. In that moment, he wrote to him, "O love that will not let me go, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that thine ocean debt it flow may richer, fuller be. Truly, O God's love, it never lets go. I gently lift us out of the murk of mere of sin to reach unimaginable spiritual heights. And lastly, God's love, it is a preserving love." Finally, John announces, he says, "And furthermore, you have seen with your own eyes, and now we tell the world that God sent his Son to be our Savior." John 4:14. God, he did not send his Son to die on the cross. I mean, just to prove that he loves us, but to save us. God's love for us is one that wants to preserve us, to save us, and to give us life. Jesus, driven by limitless love, he came into this world, to become our Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Because of God's love, and only because of God's love, our lives, they can be preserved for all eternity. S.L. Bastien, he once wrote about a certain kind of spider that builds its nest in the branches of a small tree or brush. Within the delicate enclosure, the baby spiders are hatched. Now, if the nest is disturbed in any way, the little spiders, they would rush out in fright. Immediately, the mother, she goes to their side, but she's alerted, to their potential danger in the most unique way. You see, each of the young ones, they have a thin, silky strain attached to it, and all of these strains are also joined to the body of the mother. So when the babies, find that they are threatened or their territories are being challenged, they scurry out. And of course, they basically find themselves giving lines a sharp tug, and then instantly it's felt by the adult spider. And within seconds, the mother, she pulls the babies back to the nest, where they are now protected from harm. Long ago, the prophet Hosea said that we are linked to God with cords of love, cords that cannot be broken. Hosea 11:4. You're the gentle cords of his eternal love. It binds all of our hearts and hurts to him. When we're ready to flee from the dangers of sin and Satan, our God, our Father, he will be right there, ready to save us from death and give the gift of eternal life. With so many different concepts of love, so many different takes on this powerful, beautiful, four-letter word, it is comforting to know, that Christians, we need not be confused. God is love. And God's love, is personal, is proven, and perfecting. Oh, yes, and preserving. If something's been missing in your life and you sometimes feel unloved, Jesus invites you to experience the soul-changing love of God. It is only by the love of God that this life takes on real meaning. and we can basically, you know, take purpose in living. So wherever you are in this life, always know that God's love, y'all, is available to you anytime, any place, and anywhere. You know, we all desire, need, and know love. But you know, when we have Christ in our lives, then we have the source of love. And thus, you know, we need not search any farther. Why? Well, because God is love. And with the love of God, we wish you, we say, may God be with you. May he keep you and bless you always, is our prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.